The New World, written by Such Heights and read by Kate Starks. A seventh year evening down at the Three Broomsticks, which makes Remus reflective.
I remember a time when my life had sanity in it, you know? Lily said with an air of tragedy. Remus laughed. You do? Then you ought to count yourself lucky. The question is, why did you give that up? Lily jerked her head in the direction of a table in the centre of the pub, because I appear to have got rather attached to a certain Burke over there. James and Sirius were conducting an intricate Irish jig, presumably to the music of their minds, while swinging the ties above their head. If only Dumbledore could see his head boy now, Remus murmured with a smirk. Indeed, Lily had never been very good at keeping a straight face, and a smile twitched at her mouth now. Peter wandered past, clutching three foaming pints of Hogsmeade's finest ale.
Oi, you two, stop gossiping in the corner and get over here!
Remus suddenly developed a wicked glint and turned to Lily. Care for a dance?
Lupin?
Lily gasped in overblown shock.
Yeah, go on then.
After a sneaky grin, Lily extended a hand, all coy eye flutters.
You charmer.
Expertly, Remus took her hand and began to waltz her slowly into the middle of the room. He leaned in close to whisper. One, two,
three. Get your hands off my woman right now, Remus Lupin,
James bellowed right on cue,
frozen on the tabletop with his legs still in midair.
Sorry, James, Lily called out. I'm leaving you for Remus. He's a much better dancer.
Right, that's it.
James leapt off the table and grabbed Lily's arms, before launching into the most vigorous tango Remus had seen in quite some time, and he knew that in a minute they'd been snogging in a corner, depraved beings. Peter grinned and held up his camera.
Got his face just when it was that lovely burgundy colour. Classic stuff.
Sirius quickly downed James's abandoned pint, then jumped down from the table, much more gracefully.
Why, Mooney, you never told me you could dance like that.
Remus winked. I have many a hidden ability.
That's so.
Sirius raised a very suggestive eyebrow, and Remus blushed.
Oh, God, Peter yelped. Never. Talk like that when I'm in earshot? Like, ever again?
Steady on, Sirius said easily.
Don't get your robes in a twist, Wormtail. We shall desist.
He made an elaborate bow.
For now, he muttered in Remus's direction.
For this is how things went these days. As they steered ever further into uncharted territory, despite all of their cartography, James and Lily had become James and Lily, approximately 4 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days ago. Ever since James's cloak had slipped from the shoulders in the common room, Peter had been disgruntled about this for 4 months, 2 weeks, and 5 days, though now he accepted James's separation from them, all with relative good grace. It was 3 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days since Sirius had suggested that, since he and Remus were both quite clearly very repressed, very gay, and very attracted to each other, they ought to have a go at unrepressing themselves sometime, just to see what happened. It was 3 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days, since Remus had stopped being flabbergasted by this and started seeing what happened. They'd been seeing what happened ever since, and Sirius's conclusion was that what happened was very good indeed, and Remus was very much inclined to agree.
Mooney, you all right there?
Remus blinked.
James had returned.
Yeah, sorry, Marzoy.
So I can see.
James gave Remus a puzzled and affectionate look, then went off to rescue Lily, who was being fawned over in the far corner by a group of 6 years who seemed to consider her and James to be some sort of demigods. Sirius was leaning against a wall, glass in hand, the picture of a teenage rebellion with his biking jacket. Remus snuck up behind him and moved a whisper into his ear. Come on, let's go outside for a while. James and Lily, theirs was love of dinner tables and mountain tops, to be shown through outer signs and told as a grand story to doubtful children when they ask what love is. But Remus knew of a different kind of love, one that lives in the roots of things. What he and Sirius had was not something of showy declaration, because it sprung up when no one really noticed, and neither of them knew so much as they felt. So Remus drew Sirius away from this racket of excess to the outside, where the cold made dreams more fragile and more beautiful, with air so clear that Remus could breathe Sirius straight into his lungs. There was still doubt in Sirius's eyes, and Remus knew no other way of reassurance than through connection of skin to tell him that he was the source of all his joy. Fingertips brushed against cheekbones, and Remus whispered words, guttural words, that only Sirius could bring out of him. And Sirius shuddered against him in a way that was so natural and so strange. Sirius smiled, and suddenly, it was nighttime no longer, but shining, glorious day, and with a sigh, Remus dissolved away into this new world. We got the dreamer's disease. Age 14, they got you down on your knees. So polite, we're busy still saying please. Friend, no means, but when you're down, ain't your friend. Every night, I smash a Mercedes Benz. First, we run, and then we laugh till we cry. But when the night is falling, you can't. The music played in this podfic was You Get What You Give by New Radicals.
This concludes the podfic, The New World. Well, sort of. You can either continue to listen along to the track currently playing, or you can end here. Either way, I hope you enjoyed this podfic. Please, if you enjoyed this podfic, please make sure to pop over to Such Heights at their Archive of Our Own page at https://archiveofourown.org/users/such_heights/PSEUDS/such_heights. And also, if you would like to leave me feedback, which is always very much appreciated, you can find me under Kate Starks at LifeJournal and DreamWave. Thanks once again for listening, and I hope your next podfic experience is as great as the last. You got the-